All right, so we've all got that spreadsheet open, right? We want to move beyond just the basics. We're diving into data analysis with Microsoft Excel, a beginner's guide. It seems like it's got like everything you could want. Setting up, cleaning data, then like all the cool features that people always talk about.
Yeah, it's a really great resource. It really helps bridge that gap. So many people use Excel every day, but I think they're missing out on like the true analytical power it has to offer.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. When you say analytical power, like what does that actually look like? Is this turning me into like a data scientist just by using Excel?
Well, maybe not a data scientist, but you'd be surprised like what you can actually achieve. We're talking about using functions for calculations, sorting, filtering to find the data that you need, pivot tables to summarize like massive amounts of data. There's even like a special tool pack for more advanced statistical analysis. And the best part is that all these features are designed to be accessible, even if you're just starting out.
Okay, that's good to know because I'll admit when I saw that the guide jumps into like cleaning data pretty quickly, and that doesn't exactly scream fun to me. It feels like that pile of dishes you have to do before like cooking a great meal.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely not the most glamorous part, but trust me, it's like crucial. Imagine you're trying to like analyze sales figures, but you got duplicate entries,
Right.
right? Messing everything up. You might think you're crushing it, but the reality is like your numbers are way off.
Ouch, that's a painful mistake to make. So how do we avoid that kind of data disaster? What are the key things to watch out for when cleaning things up?
Well, the guide lays out like a really clear process. Removing duplicates is like essential, just like you said. Then you got to figure out how to like deal with any missing data. Sometimes you can use like the average of other values to fill the gaps. And of course, consistent formatting is key. Think about it, like you wouldn't try to bake a cake using grams in one place and ounces in another, would you?
Definitely not. So data cleaning is all about creating that like consistent, reliable foundation before we do any like real analysis.
Right, exactly. It ensures you're working with accurate information so you can trust your insights later on.
Got it. So clean data, check. Now the guide starts talking about formulas and functions. And this is where I start to feel a little bit intimidated. Like I need a math degree to understand what's going on. Is that true?
Not at all. Excel's functions are actually your friends. Think of them like pre-built shortcuts for calculations you'll use like all the time. So you don't need to be a math whiz, you just need to know which shortcut to use.
Okay, I like the sound of that. Give me an example of one of these shortcut functions and how it might actually help me.
Okay, so let's say you need to calculate the total sales for like a certain month. Instead of like manually adding up every single sale, you could use the SEM function. It does the heavy lifting for you and instantly gives you the total.
So SEM is literally just adding everything up. That's pretty straightforward. What are some other basic functions that I might use on a regular basis?
Average and count are like your other go-to functions. Average calculates the average of a set of numbers, which is like super useful for seeing overall trends. And count tells you how many cells in a range contain data. So that's helpful if you need to know like how many sales transactions happened in a certain period.
Those are definitely handy. But I'm seeing like some more complex functions in the guide, like IF. That seems like it might require some coding knowledge or something.
IF is powerful, but it's not as scary as it looks. It essentially lets you set conditions for your calculations. So, for example, let's say you want to identify all sales above a certain amount. You can use the IF function to flag those transactions, making it easier to focus on like your high-value customers.
Interesting. So it's like adding a layer of intelligence to your calculations instead of just crunching numbers blindly.
Exactly. You're starting to see like the real power of Excel's functions.
All right, so I'm starting to get the hang of formulas and functions. But what happens when I have a massive amount of data, like thousands of rows? The guide mentions something called pivot tables. And to be honest, it makes me think of like a giant, complicated spreadsheet monster that I'll never be able to understand.
Don't worry. Pivot tables are actually designed to make your life easier, not harder. Imagine you're trying to analyze sales data for like hundreds of products across different regions, right? A pivot table can instantly show you the top-selling product in each region without you having to manually sort and filter everything.
Wait, so instead of getting lost in a sea of data, I can use a pivot table to instantly get those kinds of insights. That's incredible. I'm starting to understand why people rave about them.
They really are a game changer. It's like having a bird's eye view of your data, allowing you to spot patterns and trends that would be impossible to see otherwise.
Okay, I'm definitely intrigued by pivot tables. But before we dive into those, I'm curious, what about charts and graphs? I'm a very visual person, so for me, seeing a chart makes things click in my brain way faster than just staring at rows and columns of numbers. Does the guide cover that side of things too?
Oh, absolutely. The guide dives into a whole range of charts and graphs, and how to use them effectively. They can be, super powerful for telling the story behind your data and really bringing those insights to life.
So it's not just about having the data, it's about like being able to communicate what it means.
Right.
What kind of charts are we talking about here? Are we getting into complicated stuff?
No, not at all. Excel has all the classics, bar charts, for comparisons, line charts for trends over time, pie charts for showing proportions, and they're all pretty straightforward to create once you get the hang of it.
Okay, those are definitely familiar. But how do I know which type of chart to use? I mean, what if I have a data set that could work with several different chart types?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's where thinking about your audience and what you're trying to emphasize comes in. Let's say you're looking at sales data for different products. A bar chart might be great for showing, which products are your top sellers. But if you want to highlight how sales have changed over the year, a line chart could be more effective.
So it's really about choosing the chart that tells the most compelling story, not just the one that looks the prettiest.
Exactly. You want your visuals to be informative and engaging, not just a bunch of random lines and bars.
That makes sense. Now, you mentioned something earlier that I wanted to circle back to, the data analysis tool pack. What exactly is that, and how do we even access it? Does it come standard with Excel?
It does come standard, but you might need to activate it in your settings. It's kind of like, unlocking a hidden level in Excel, giving you access to a whole bunch of statistical tools that go beyond the basic functions.
Hold on, statistical tool sounds a bit intimidating. Is this where I need that math degree we talked about earlier?
Don't worry, the tool pack is designed to be pretty user-friendly. You don't need to be a statistician to get value from it.
Okay, good to know. So, what kind of cool things can I do with this tool pack? Can you give me a real-world example of how it might be useful?
Sure. Let's say you want to see how advertising spend correlates with sales. The tool pack lets you run something called a regression analysis, which examines the relationship between those two variables. So it can help you understand whether increasing your advertising budget is likely to lead to a significant increase in sales, or if it's not really worth the investment.
Wow, that's actually really helpful. Being able to predict the impact of decisions like that could be huge for a business.
Exactly. And that's just one example. You can also use the tool pack to create histograms, which visualize how data is distributed and calculate descriptive statistics like standard deviation.
I'll admit some of this is going a little over my head, but it's fascinating to see what's possible. It feels like we're just scratching the surface of what Excel can do.
And that's the exciting part. There's always more to learn and explore. This deep dive is about, giving you a solid foundation, but it's really just the beginning of your Excel journey.
All right, bring on the journey. Now, the guide also mentions macros, and I'm really intrigued by the idea of automating tasks. Time-saving hacks are always welcome. What exactly are macros, and can anyone create them?
Yeah, so macros are essentially little programs you build within Excel to automate repetitive tasks. Let's say you have to format a report a certain way every week. You can record those steps as a macro and then run it with a single click.
So instead of manually doing those same steps over and over again, I can just hit play and let the macro do the work for me. Sign me up. But how difficult is it to actually create these
Well,
macros?
surprisingly straightforward. Excel has a built-in macro recorder that captures your actions and turns them into code. You don't need to be a programmer to use it.
Okay, that sounds promising. Are there any limits to what you can automate with macros? Or can you basically make Excel do anything you want?
The possibilities are pretty vast. You can automate formatting, calculations, chart creation, even importing data from external sources. The more you learn about macros, the more you'll find ways to streamline your workflows.
I can already see how this could be a game changer for productivity. But before I get too carried away dreaming about all the tasks I can automate, I want to bring us back to something we discussed earlier, best practices. All of these cool tools and features are great, but what's the point if I'm not using them in a way that's organized and sustainable?
You're absolutely right. Good habits are so crucial, even when you're just starting out with Excel.
So, what are some of the top best practices that the guide recommends? What should I be focusing on as I start to explore all these new skills?
Well, first and foremost, organization is key. Keeping your data clean, structured, and well-labeled makes everything so much easier to manage. Think of it like a well-organized kitchen, right? Everything has its place, and you know exactly where to find what you need.
I like that analogy. No more searching for that one specific spatula in a drawer full of random utensils. But beyond just being organized, are there any other tips that will help me avoid common pitfalls?
Definitely. One common mistake is hard-coding values into your formulas. For example, if you're calculating sales tax and you just type the tax rate directly into the formula, what happens if the tax rate changes? You'll have to manually update every single formula.
Oh, that sounds like a nightmare. So what's the better way to handle that?
Well, instead of hard-coding the value, store it in a separate cell and then reference that cell in your formulas. That way, if the tax rate changes, you just update it in one place and all your formulas automatically adjust.
That's so much more efficient. It's like having a central control panel for your data. Any other words of wisdom before we move on?
Yeah, one final tip that I can't emphasize enough is to embrace keyboard shortcuts. Excel is full of them, and they can save you a ton of time in the long run. Learning even a few basic shortcuts can make a huge difference in your efficiency.
Right, it's like learning the secret handshakes of the Excel Pro Club. I'm ready to join. But before we unleash our listeners on the world with all this newfound knowledge, maybe we should address the what's next question. Where do they go from here after this deep dive?
That's a great point. You know, this guide provides a fantastic foundation, but the beauty of Excel is that there's always more to learn and explore. Depending on their interests, people might want to dive deeper into specific features like pivot tables or macros, or maybe they'll want to explore the more advanced statistical capabilities of the tool pack.
And I'm guessing there are tons of resources available online if they want to keep learning.
Absolutely. There are countless tutorials, courses, and even entire online communities dedicated to Excel. The possibilities are truly endless.
It feels like we've opened up a whole new world of data exploration. But I know some people might be feeling a bit overwhelmed by all this information. What advice would you give to those who are feeling a little intimidated?
My advice would be, don't try to learn everything at once. Focus on one area that interests you and really master that. Once you feel comfortable, move on to the next thing. Remember, it's a journey, not a race.
That's a great reminder. And I think it's important to remember that Excel is a tool, not a master. We should be using it to achieve our goals, not letting it dictate how we work.
I couldn't agree more. Excel should be empowering, not intimidating. It should help us make sense of the world, not make us feel lost or inadequate.
Well said. And on that note, I think it's time for a challenge. Are you ready to put all this knowledge into practice?
I'm excited to see what you've learned.
All right, in the next part of this deep dive, we'll be tackling a real-world data analysis challenge using a sample data set.
This is where things get really interesting.
You got that right. So grab your spreadsheets and get ready to level up your Excel skills. We'll see you in part three. All right, data detectives, are you ready to put those Excel skills to the test? We've got a sample data set of sales data ready to go. You can find the link in the show notes if you want to follow along.
Yeah, this data set is a great example of what you might encounter, in the real world. We've got product names, quantity sold, prices, dates, regions, all the ingredients for some, insightful analysis.
Okay, so let's imagine we're the sales team for this company. What are some questions we might want to answer using this data? What kind of insights are we hoping to uncover?
Well, a good starting point would be figuring out which products are our top sellers. Which ones are driving the most revenue? We might also want to look at like sales trends over time. Are we growing? Are there any seasonal patterns? Things like that. And of course, comparing sales performance across different regions could be really valuable.
Those are all great questions, and I'm guessing we can use the techniques we've learned in this deep dive to find the answers, right?
Oh, absolutely. Let's start with like identifying the top selling products. How would you approach that using what we've learned about Excel?
Well, I remember you mentioned sorting and filtering. Could I sort the data by quantity sold to see which products have the highest numbers?
That's a great start. And to make it even easier to analyze, you could use the SOM function to calculate the total quantity sold for each product and then sort by that column. You'll have a clear ranking of your top performers right there.
Right. And once we have that, we could even create a chart, maybe a bar chart, to really visualize those top sellers and make the insights pop.
Exactly. A visual representation can be so powerful for communicating findings, both to yourself and to others.
Okay, top sellers check. What about analyzing those sales trends over time? How do we go about uncovering those patterns?
This is where pivot tables really shine. Remember how we talked about them being able to summarize large amounts of data? We could create a pivot table that groups sales by month or quarter, giving us a clear picture of how performance has changed over time.
Oh yeah, pivot tables. I'm starting to see how versatile they are. And then we could create a line chart from the pivot table to actually visualize those trends.
Right, you got it. A line chart would be perfect for showing the ups and downs of sales over time. And you could easily spot any seasonal patterns or long-term trends.
This is making me excited to actually dive into the data and start playing around with these features. It's like having a whole new set of tools to unlock insights that would have been hidden before.
That's the power of Excel. And remember, if you want to go even deeper, you can use the data analysis tool pack to do things like calculate moving averages or identify seasonal trends with more statistical rigor.
Right, the tool pack. I'm definitely going to need to explore that more when I have some time. But for now, let's keep it focused on the core techniques we've covered. What about comparing sales performance across different regions? How would we tackle that one?
Pivot tables are, once again, your friend here. You can easily create a pivot table that shows sales broken down by region, giving you a clear comparison. And to make it even more visually impactful, you could use conditional formatting to highlight the regions with the highest and lowest sales.
Conditional formatting, that rings a bell. Remind me what that does again?
It's a way to automatically format cells based on their values. So, for example, you could set it up to automatically highlight any region with sales above a certain target in green and any region below a certain threshold in red.
Oh, right. It's like having a built-in alert system that draws your attention to the areas that need the most focus.
Exactly. And then you can dig deeper into those regions to understand why they're overperforming or underperforming compared to the others.
This is making me realize that data analysis is kind of like detective work. You're piecing together clues and using your tools to uncover the story behind the numbers.
I love that analogy. And just like a good detective, you need to be curious, persistent, and always asking questions. The data is there to guide you, but you have to be willing to look for the answers.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground with analyzing the data, but what about automation? Could we use macros to streamline some of these processes?
Absolutely. Imagine you have to create a monthly sales report that includes a chart of top-selling products and a pivot table showing sales trends by region. You could build a macro that automatically generates that entire report for you, pulling in the latest data and formatting everything perfectly.
Wow, that would be a huge time saver. I'm definitely adding learn macros to my to-do list. But before we wrap up, I think it's important to emphasize that data analysis is more than just tools and techniques. It's about asking the right questions, thinking critically, and using data to tell a story that drives action.
I couldn't agree more. The most sophisticated tools won't help you if you don't have a clear purpose and a curious mind.
So as we conclude this deep dive into Excel, I want to leave our listeners with this thought. Data is everywhere. It's in our businesses, our personal lives, even the world around us. And with the right tools and a curious mind, you can unlock the power of data to make better decisions, gain valuable insights, and tell amazing stories.
And remember, this is just the beginning of your data exploration journey. There's always more to learn, new challenges to tackle, and new insights to uncover. So keep experimenting, keep learning, and keep asking questions.
Beautifully said. Thanks for joining us on this data-filled adventure. Until next time, happy analyzing.